Bevel! Bevel! Get your raises! Bevel! Bevel! Get your raises! Smooth face! Bevel! Bevel! Get your
What's up, Rambler listeners? This episode is once again sponsored by our good friends at Bevel, Bevel Shaving System. It's got amazing razors, and it got amazing razors in places that go through your faces, and you put the razor in, you shave your face, and it's in the place. Yo, I just sounded like a rappity rap rapper for a little bit. It was fun. I think it's because I'm wearing a hoodie on while I do the ad. I usually don't do the ads with a hoodie on, but I think it changes your vibe. Anyways, for our Rambler listeners, go to getbevel.com/Hannibal and get 10% off your first purchase. That's getbevel.com/Hannibal. It's great razors. It's just smooth razors. It's better if you got a garbage razor, it's way better than it. If you got a good razor, then this is a great razor. So step up your razor play and go through your get somebody some stuff for the holidays. That's not a good fake laugh. Anyways, getbevel.com/Hannibal. 10% off.
Time to get down to business.
Hold up.
Ooh, Kay Valentine. Ooh, the Handsome Rambler Podcast. Hosted by Tony Trim on the drums.
Welcome, Kay Valentine. How you doing?
Good. Should I be talking into this?
Yeah.
What's up?
Chilling.
What's up, Kay Valentine? What's
Thanks up? For doing the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You're the first person that I've booked on the show just because I was seeing that she was liking a lot of the videos, and her since I follow her, her name would pop up as one of the three people that would like, and she would like a lot of them. And I was like, oh, she might want to do the show. It's perfect.
Oh, I'm gonna be liking everybody's shit now. But yeah, I'm a fan of it. It's funny. Y'all are funny.
And you work with our guy Talib Kweli.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Talib.
I happen to be in Denver. Did I go to the? Was it Denver? Yeah,
I think so. That's when I met you.
I think it was Denver because my lips was dry, and that hydration was getting to me. But I happened to stay. I think I stayed an extra day after a gig in Denver, and had a night off, and I looked up the local. I pulled up the Arts Weekly, the local Arts Weekly, the Westword or some such. Something like that, and saw that Talib had a show. Yeah. Kay Valentine, you were opening, killed it.
Thank you.
Did that altitude get to you at all?
You know, I really don't be noticing. Really? I didn't notice. I don't know. Guess I be in my own world. Wait. And no, I don't smoke.
You in good shape? You work out?
I should work out more. Maybe that's what it is.
That altitude has taken, I don't know if it's killed some touring musicians and artists, but
it gets to you. Do you drink?
I don't drink.
Oh, see, because yeah, if you drink, like you drink two beers, it feels like you drank a six pack because the altitude gets to you like that.
Yeah, I don't drink, I don't smoke. And then on tour, I was always, it's not seasick, but like when he's driving, I had to stay on the bunk because I felt nauseous all the time. So maybe it's because I was already feeling weird that I didn't notice. Yeah.
No drinking, no smoking on the road. That's incredible discipline.
A lot of secondhand smoke, though. So.
A lot of secondhand. Eh, secondhand smoke ain't real smoke. So you felt sort of light high
before? I mean, you know what? I'm so used to it. Like, I was on tour with, that was Talib, Styles P, and myself. Mm-hmm. And I just think that particular date, Styles didn't make that one date out of the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't at that one. But so being around them two, you get firsthand smoke. It ain't even secondhand smoke no more.
Firsthand smoke.
But I'm not actually hitting the blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
That's that clam bake. We used to do that just to conserve our weed. Get my car and nobody opened the windows until that blunt is gone. And even when the blunt is gone, we recycle the weed.
Mm.
Conservative.
Yeah, man. You gotta stay cheap. I think.
What?
Stay cheap.
In college especially. Frugal.
And in real life too. You gotta save money.
Yes.
I think it says something about my own relationship with alcohol and other stuff, that whenever I hear about somebody saying that they don't drink or smoke, I'm like, what do you do with all that time? What do? You caught up on all the shows? You read you 2 books a week? What are you doing?
Yeah, your stomach must be incredible.
What are you doing? Because that's cutting out lots of diarrhea time. You're not on the toilet. You're on the toilet a normal amount of time. You're not drinking, having terrible conversations. What are you killing the time with, K Valentine?
I mean, I'm usually present for the terrible conversations.
Oh.
I do all the same things you guys do. I just don't be under the influence. So it's actually entertaining because everyone I'm around is usually under the influence.
And you looking.
So like, I watch, I listen, I laugh.
Do you feel like an alien a little bit?
Sometimes. I feel like I'm in like a Twilight Zone.
Because whenever I have nights when I don't drink and I'm out, and I'm around drunk people, I can't do this.
It's funny. I laugh.
But I think it's like anything. Maybe it's a muscle. So you have to work that muscle and work the brain to be in those type of situations. And my brain, when I try to put myself in those type of situations, is like, nope, gotta go home.
Yeah.
Can't lift that shit.
Yeah, it's like when I'm sober and I'm around drunk people, I'm just like, is that me? Like yeah. them?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be drinking because I don't want to act like that. So judgmental.
It's funny to me.
Well, you thought about making a weed song anyways just because people smoke weed and listen to rap? But are you too real
yes.
for that?
No, you know what? I'm too real for it. But that don't mean a thought didn't cross my mind because a few weeks back, King Lil G was here. And that's the artist. You know, he tours all the time. He's from L.A. and they smoke a lot of weed.
Mm.
And so we've been wanting to work with each other. So he called me up and we were in the studio and his producer was playing beats. And I'm like, man, what's going to come of this? What we going to rap about? He was like, man, we should smoke about weed. He was like, we should talk about weed. Even though you don't smoke, we should write a song about weed. He was like, you down with that? I'm like, yeah, I'm down with it. You know, but
yeah.
we ended up rapping about something totally different, but
right.
I was open to it.
You
I would have came
yeah.
from a different perspective.
Right. You could have, yeah, it could have been fine.
Yeah, it would have been funny.
It wouldn't have been the first time a rapper talked about something they didn't do, and it's been way other extreme examples.
But I would have came from a different perspective. I would have talked about my experience with the secondhand
smoke.
It still would have been real.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Or he could have kid it came from the angle of, I sell hella weed.
I
don't know if he sell weed or not.
I don't. Yeah. Not anymore.
I was doing some of my pre-show research, and I was listening to some of the songs, and one song had a particularly intense energy. It was this one right here. You always fucking with a couple bitches, fucking me and fucking other bitches. Give you a couple stitches, have my niggas touch you for a couple stitches. Delete your phone, forget a couple pictures. Rather that I was there fucking with you. After this song, can't do nothing with you. You're gonna regret that you fucked me, nigga, cause you won't. What happened?
Well, that was the truth. I mean, niggas be cheating out here. Niggas cheat every day, B. And that's what I was talking about. And
that dude cheated with somebody with access to studio time. Usually you cheat somebody, she just said, fuck you, you ain't shit. And then sometimes you cheat, and then it ends up being like,
you nasty, you trifling, ho. I'm fucking you up, and that's rightfully so. You broke all the rules, your quality's low. For quantity, ho, you let quality go.
You think has he hurt you? you sent him the link, didn't you?
I didn't send him the link, but he heard it, though.
Yeah.
He's like, oof.
Put him in an awkward situation, like in the car, like, you want to hear my new shit?
That's why I have some women in music that I'm attracted to, but I, like, if things go weird, I'm like, I ain't trying to be that level of muse.
Oh yeah, see, I'll write a song about your ass. Not you.
I didn't do nothing. Right.
I mean, just in general. No. But I would, you know, like, that's what makes the music so real, because it does come from my personal experiences and those around me. But it's like, I wouldn't say nobody's name.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. You know, but you treat me good, you'll get a song too.
Hey, to everybody out there, not everybody. Somebody treat you good now? You in a relationship?
No.
No. Mm-mm. When people find out you're a rapper, are they intimidated and they say, you know, I heard that Couple Bitches song, and I'm an honest guy, but whew. It's a great song, but scary.
No, but I have had an instance where it was a guy. We've been friends for a long time, and then we were, you know, thinking about taking it up a notch. But he did let me know that he felt a way about, you know, me traveling with Talib and, you know, always around. Because I'm around a lot of males all the time, you know, successful, most of them. So it's like, you know, I think that intimidated him. But yeah, that's it.
The story is that you had a friend that got you backstage at Talib's show.
Yes.
And then you got Talib to listen to your music.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody snuck backstage at your shows?
Yeah, to get to Talib.
Do Talib sometimes be having 45-minute conversations with a fan about Palestine?
Talib, you know, he is funny because, I don't know, I just, when he in his artist mode, he don't really be, you know. I remember we were at a show at SOB's, and this girl, this woman had came up, and she was freestyling to him.
Yeah.
And she had freestyled to me too, but it was funny because he was like, look, I can't listen to this anymore. I got to go. Like, that's how it was that bad.
That's such an aggressive, not just giving information, but to just start rapping at somebody.
That's how Bone Thugs got put on.
Did they?
Yeah. They went to Eazy-E's dressing room and just started going.
They didn't just sneak in. Four motherfuckers with sunglasses and braids.
That's the story.
Didn't just sneak in the Eazy-E's green room in the 90s.
Hey,
are you buying this, K Valentine?
This is the story.
Hey, anything can happen. I don't know.
I'm not buying Lazy Crazy.
Was all four of them back there, or was it one?
I don't know. All I know is that that's the story, is somehow they got the Easy while he was doing a concert.
Yeah.
They spit her ass for him, and then he signed
them. Mm.
Well, as someone that really loves stories, I think there's some holes in that one, and I need some more details, because I can't just see them all walking in. They have to either be escorted, or maybe one snuck in. And then he said, yo, I got a few other friends with the same last name as me. And then maybe they got to go to. But you can't just walk into from NWA and just come in with it's Eazy-E. He got guns and shit. I don't know. What high school did you go to?
What high school did I go to?
I don't know.
I went to Roosevelt High School, which is actually in Minnesota.
Oh, you went to high school in Minneapolis or another town?
Yeah, Minneapolis. I had to leave here for a little while. I'm from here, but I had to leave for a little while.
Yeah.
And come back.
Come back. So you went to all 4 years up there?
Yep.
And then came back to Chicago? Did you feel different? What was Minneapolis like as a 14 to 18 year old?
Minneapolis was diverse. You know, that's the first time I ever saw a Somalian, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and initially I was like, oh my gosh, like they all wear the same thing. They all look alike. You know, my first time seeing them. But I feel like I'm a lot more, I'm more well-rounded because I was able to reside there for a few years. But I didn't really learn how to, I learned how to drive there. So when I came back here, driving there and driving here was two completely different things.
It's more aggressive here?
Very. Even the pedestrians were aggressive here. And I remember when I was driving here for the first time, and this guy came in the middle of the street, and he was just standing there, and he was like, hit me, bitch. I don't got nothing to live for anyway. You know, and I was just like scared. You know what I'm saying? Because I learned how to drive in Minneapolis.
What intersection?
I don't even remember. It was the south side of Chicago, though. I was just trying to get some Harold's. So I was on my way to Harold's Chicken, and that was my, so people drive here crazy.
Did you get into any Minneapolis hip hop? Into that scene while you were up there listening to Brother Ali or Atmosphere or any of those folks?
Nah, not really. I wasn't really into the hip hop scene there. I did used to write poetry, and I didn't perform any poetry there at all. But when I was there, I was able to visit I visited a college, College of St. Catherine, and they had Maya Angelou one day, and so I was able to speak with her and meet her. But I was more into poetry. You know, I didn't get to rap till I came back here.
What was Maya Angelou's security detail like? Was her shit tight?
It wasn't that. I mean, no, she was backstage at the college because she had 2 days in a row there. I saw her speak both days, and then I spoke to some of the college staff. And, you know, they saw this young girl who was eager to meet Maya Angelou, so they let me go back. And what was surprising was Maya Angelou's demeanor, Dr. Angelou's demeanor. Mm-hmm. Because in school, they used to always say Maya Angelou. They always said Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I see her, I'm just like, oh my gosh, Maya Angelou, you know, expressing how much I love her.
Yeah.
And she was like, what did you call me? And she had like a deeper voice, and it was like, I was like, Maya Angelou. She was like, it's Dr. Angelou. I'm like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dr. Angelou. I'm like,
you need to tell every one of these schools.
Right. I think they now probably say it now, but it was just like, you know, you have to make sure you know, she was serious about that. But she ended up, I asked her, I said, can I, you know, I'm a huge fan. I write poetry. Can I read some poetry and get some feedback? She was like, no.
Wow, Maya Angelou doesn't sound like a very pleasant person.
She was like,
yeah, well, you should have said, hold on, Dr. Angelou, you still gonna get these bars. I know you can't run fast. Just give.
I was a bit shocked, but it didn't stop me from asking her. I said, why not? You know?
What did she say?
She was like, I look around the room, and she like gestured. So, and she was like, you have people over there holding a conversation, you have someone having a photo shoot. And she pointed out a whole bunch of things that was taking place in such a small space. She said, if you were to recite your poetry to me, you wouldn't be showing any respect for me, yourself, or your art. And, you know, she made sense, and I just got quiet. And she was like, but I'm going to help you. And then she one of her assistants, I believe her name was Miss Duffy. She was like, Miss Duffy, come over here. I want you to get this young lady a card. She was like, I want you to keep going, keep writing. I want you to send me two of your best poems. And she was like, I'm going to help you. And she was like, make sure you put personal in the red marker so they'll know to give it, deliver it straight to my home instead of my office. So,
yeah.
You know, it was cool. Just, and I didn't get no picture or anything, but just to have that. A lot of people can't say they spoke with Dr. Maya Angelou. Not you know at what all. I mean? And I, that's a memory that I'll forever cherish.
In the moment, obviously, you played it cool, but was part of you thinking, I could whisper my poems in your ear, and we won't have the distractions.
Honestly, my honest thoughts, I was kind of thinking like two ways. I was like, wow, this is surreal. This is amazing. But I was also thinking like, well, she's kind of rude. But I don't think feel that way anymore. But at that moment,
yeah.
That's what I was, you know, because you have, when you look up to certain people, you have these, like, I don't even want to say if put them on a pedestal, but that's just not the dialogue I was expecting from her. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't change anything, and I'm grateful for it.
Dope.
You probably thought in your mind, she's like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, I thought she was going to give me a hug, sit me on her lap or something. Yeah, she's like, no.
Grandma-like figure. No.
Right. So.
Get your ass away from me.
So do you? How do you think spending your high school years in Minneapolis, do you feel like it stunted your footworking ability?
Yes, yes. Because when y'all was up here, when they was up here footworking, I was up Yes, I do, because I be trying to footwork still, and it don't come off right, does it? No.
You really try to footwork?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nah. Can you footwork?
I mean.
You look like you be trying.
I try in the privacy of my home. I actually tried at a party where I was DJing at this spot, and I played some juke songs, and I was getting hyped, and people started a footwork circuit, and I was a little drunk, and I jumped out of the DJ booth in there, and I was like, yeah, and they were like, yo, hey, and then and then I started, and I did a couple moves, and I could feel that my shit didn't move how it's supposed to move, and then that the rest of the dance wouldn't go well, so I just hopped back in the DJ booth and continue playing songs.
You played it safe.
Yeah, it was looking like, I was like, that don't look how.
Did somebody come back and hold the back of your shirt up?
I didn't even, it probably would have happened if I kept going, but I just started overthinking it and got out of there.
Smart move.
Yeah. So got back in the shot, and you got back in the shot. What year you graduate high school?
You trying to find out my age?
I didn't find out your age. I'm really just trying to find out what artist was hot when you graduated high school, what music was popular.
To be honest, when I graduated high school, what I was listening to back then was my mom had kind of put me on. Like, I've always loved hip hop, but back then in Minnesota, we was listening to Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
We were listening to Sarah McLachlan. Yeah, we were listening to her. Like, I went through a period where that's what my mom was listening to, so that's what I was listening to. And Missy, a lot of Missy Elliott, you know. But ever since I was like a toddler, I have been listening to hip hop because of my mom, you know, her boyfriend at the time, or I was just always around it. But then I went through my alternative music phase, and then I really got back into hip hop when Drake came. That renewed my love for hip hop.
Yeah,
it renewed it. Yeah, and it made me, that's when I first found out that, like, that's when I got the confidence to start rapping myself after hearing Drake.
You talking about I'm gonna be successful Drake, that around, or So Far Gone Drake?
Thank me later. Yeah, because I was like, wow, here's somebody.
So you're 24.
If you guess it, I'm going to tell you.
Remember, she doesn't drink or smoke, so that automatically makes her look younger no matter what.
26.
I know. know people who drink and smoke, and well, they don't look younger than me, but yeah, you gotta. Yeah.
That should put your years. They'll put years on your face.
But yeah, I heard Drake, and I just felt like, you know, because my favorite rapper of all times is Tupac. Mm-hmm. But when I heard Drake, I'm like, man, he's rapping, but he's coming from a perspective that I would come from. You know, I feel like Drake, and not to say he's feminine in any way, but he's able to give you a feminine point of view, if that makes any sense. You know, just how he, I guess because he was raised by a single mom and he maybe has a lot of female friends or interactions. But when I heard that, you know, because Drake is not hardcore, but he's still a dope. He's still a super dope. Yeah. Rapper to me, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I was like, okay, if he could do it, I definitely can.
Yeah, Drake's
he's a sensitive guy.
I mean, he gets really specific about his interactions with some women. He'd be like, yeah, old girl Cheryl from the Waffle House, it was 4 o'clock. And then motherfuckers just start writing on that Waffle House's Yelp page. it was a Hooters or something.
Really?
And he shouted out a girl, some Atlanta Hooters.
I know
some
what you're talking about, yeah.
But he just said it in a song. The internet found her. Isn't that 1985?
No, I was just like trying to see if it was.
Yeah, he said her name. Yeah.
Said her name. Yeah. He's boosted some strippers' careers off of just a quick name drop.
Mm. Wow.
Malia. Yeah.
Tell Malia I'm on fire. She should work tonight.
Why you say it like that though?
Our delivery's off. I don't got the beat. I don't listen to Miss Me that often anymore, but I remember the line.
Do it with the auto tune, maybe that'll sound.
Yeah. Tell my liar I'm on fire, she should work tonight. No, that's not it. Tell my liar I'm on fire. Tell my liar.
Now I'm on fire. He sound like Kanye West.
She should work tonight.
That's the remix. Tell my liar I'm on fire. She should.
You wanna mess around with this K Valentine?
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I've been waiting my whole life to get on this thing. Yo. Yo. Hannibal, you have a piece of hair that I've been wanting to pull since I've been sitting next to you. I don't even think it's your hair. Maybe it is your hair.
I got one long ass hair.
Cranes in the sky. Cranes in the sky.
What you got right there, K Valentine?
This.
You got vinyl.
Yes. This
she
is
got
my
a vinyl. This is your latest album, your my newest
debut,
album.
My first album.
Your
my
first
debut
album.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know albums mixed like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
this is
your debut album.
Yeah.
Here for a Reason.
Here for a Reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to a few of these songs earlier today.
Oh, okay.
There's some smooth shit on there. You got the BJ the Chicago Kid track on there. That's real. Atlanta. Yeah. And the vinyl matches the dress.
Bam.
Yeah.
Atlanta, that sounds very sensual song, but that's not about a guy, is it?
No.
It's about Atlanta.
Yeah.
Good song.
It's just like I wanted to put a creative spin on, because I love Atlanta. Atlanta to me is like, I would buy a spot there. You know what I'm saying? Just that's one of the few places that I've been where I feel like the unity amongst everybody, but specifically amongst Black people, like, is so strong, you know? And I just like the energy there. So one day I was getting ready to go to Atlanta, and while I was packing, I was listening to beats, and that particular beat came up. And I'm like, okay, Atlanta, I miss you. But I'm like, I'm from Chicago, so I ain't finna just write about the city. Like, so, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna put a spin on and talk about a guy. So,
that's nice.
Did you record mostly in Chicago?
Yeah, mostly in Chicago. Chicago and some in Miami, some in New York, but mostly here.
Obviously you live here.
Right.
But is there anything a little more inspirational? Like, do you get... I used to live in New York, and now when I go back, it does, the energy of it, I'm like, whoa, this city kind of makes you want to get your shit together. You feel that in other spots, in Miami, New York? Do you get hype?
I feel that wherever I'm at, because that's just in me, period. But New York needs better food. Y'all,
what?
The food in New York. Maybe
don't say me.
Oh, and right. You're right. But
that's crazy. New York's got amazing food.
Maybe I've been going to the wrong spots. I feel like all the traveling in Chicago still, I think we got some good food here.
I think you just had the wrong host in New York.
Oh, okay.
It's the biggest city in the world. You went to the wrong four spots.
She kept going to the same falafel cart.
You went to the wrong four spots.
Halala again?
Yeah.
Alright, well. Okay.
I'll send you some recommendations. Let me know next time you go on a New York trip.
Okay.
Okay, this is a separate thing that when I was looking at older songs, you had a song with Vic Spencer.
Yeah, yep.
And obviously, there's also a Vic Mensa. They've done a song together, but Vic Spencer, I feel like he got to switch it up, man.
Like ASAP.
What, his name?
Yeah, that's too close. If it was a motherfucker out here named Hannibal Furnace or some shit, or Shrannibal Curtis, I'd be like, yo, let's talk real quick.
But what about Aesop Rock and ASAP Rocky? That's just...
No.
You think ASAP Rocky knew?
Somebody had my name.
What?
When I first started rapping, this guy used to hit me on Twitter. He's like, you ain't even got no followers. You ain't gonna do nothing in rap. You weak, you this, you that. His name is K Valentine, too.
Oh.
But the thing about it is, like, my name really is K Valentine. K is the first initial of my, you know, first name, first letter. And then Valentine is my middle name.
Right.
Valentine was my father's name. My mom gave it to me. So K Valentine, it ain't something I just made up. Mm. I took my middle name, my first letter of my, so it's like, and I'm like, what guy would, K Valentine, that ain't even a guy's name. Dude? It's a dude. It was a dude.
Was he R&B singer?
No, he was a rapper.
Oh, that's a soft ass rap name.
For him. Right. I don't know where he is now. Like, that was like years ago. Like, when I first.
You just tweet him, check up on him.
I don't want to check up on him.
Just say.
But I knew I was good once I got the domain for the website, kvalentine.com. I'm like,
I
ain't got to work. Yeah.
How much time in between that weird Twitter interaction with him and getting the domain was there? Or did you like get it right? I see you like, you probably got it right away.
Right away.
As soon as you're like, there's Facebook, another one out there.
All that.
I'm like, he think he going to have my name? I got the website.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because
put the kibosh on that real quick.
He was probably drunk sending them tweets too. If she was sober with the internet, boom, pulled the credit card out, GoDaddy.com, knocked it out.
Do you have HannibalBarros.com?
Of course.
I was going to say, let's get that.
That shit in like bracket. 2006.
There's motherfuckers that legit predict business names, buy the domains, and then.
Yes, and then those people got to buy it back. Yeah.
Got HannibalBarros.com, got HannibalHannibal.com, got HannibalBarros with two R's, the misspelling.com.
The Hannibal Burrs comedy.
Yeah, man. Nah,
you pay like $200 a month just for domain name.
Kiana, check TonyTrim.com.
What's your favorite track off of this album?
My favorite track. Oh, that's a hard one. You know, cause I you know, I'm on every track, but
cause I'm on every song. You know how I'm supposed to do.
But if I just have to pick one, Okay, I would say Soul Searching is featuring Styles P.
It's only righteous that I start with myself first. I'm golden, but I'm strolling, soul searching for self-worth. Golden child. Ain't too religious, you barely see me at church. Time to church land. I don't follow niggas, only my first man.
That's a smooth track. Thank How long you. Did it take you to knock out that verse?
Soon as Styles sent me his verse, because he recorded his verse first. I sent him the beat just to make sure he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And he recorded his verse, sent it, and I wrote mine, like, right there on the spot.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I recorded it the next morning.
Oh, so you a quick knock it out? You do a lot of takes. Are you up in there? Like, that's better. Nope.
Yeah, sometimes I can be a 30 take Jake. Sometimes it depends on how long I had before I go. You know what I mean? Because if I'm able to practice it a couple of times before I get to the studio, then I'll be good. But
right.
Sometimes, you know, or most of my takes be good, but sometimes I'll be like, nah, I want to say it this way. Like, I implement change while I'm right there in the booth.
Yeah.
So, you know.
When you start doing big ass venues headlining, I always ask people, what is their ideal, just big money production, stage shit? Like, just see Travis Scott, he got this big ass weird eagle that he's on top of and he's flying across the crowd. Or the Watch the Throne tour had Jay and Kanye on opposite sides of the arena on these huge pillars. Or the Yeezus tour, he got a goddamn mountain and he got a Jesus out there and mm-hmm. all these dancers. What type of show you want to have?
You know what? I don't think I haven't thought about, like, when I imagine myself in that moment, I think of, like, I think more of, like, Beyonce and how she shows, like, in between her songs, she'll show you film, you know, mm-hmm. of her, you know, doing whatever, riding a horse. Or, you know, I want to do stuff like that. And I definitely want to have dances. You know, people don't know that I be dancing and shit. So, you know, but nothing, like, super crazy. Because I'm going to captivate with the art. And
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, who's the guest that we had that said they wanted jetpacks?
I think that was...
Was that Joey Purp?
That was Joey Purp, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted jetpacks.
See, and I know that stuff is also expensive.
Oh,
I'm just trying to budget.
Right.
You know, save more money.
Sometimes I'll see somebody's show and I think, man, they might be breaking even on this shit.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of shit. Money.
Right.
These buses and such.
Right.
Oh, I was watching a family video and Michi was in there. You know Michi?
Oh, Hustler. Joke Hustler? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. That's what I got.
You've been to Michi shows before?
I have. I performed, actually. He was doing a open mic night, comedy night, and I performed. That's how I...
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was just a funny...
He's funny.
I was just watching the video, and I was like, is that Michi? And then he got a close-up. He's like, it is Michi. He was in the background first. I didn't expect to see Michi in the background of your video. Michi's a hilarious dude. Is this relaxing?
It's different.
What do you do to relax? You meditate?
No, I need to meditate. I heard meditation is really good.
I got some friends that swear by it. I don't have to.
I've tried. Every time I do it, I start thinking about food or, you know, something will come in and block out the meditation.
You gotta practice your meditate? That's part of it.
Yeah.
It's the focus on your breathing and to block out all of that outer.
You've never drank or smoked?
Yeah, I have. I've tried it. I just, the thing about it, it's not like I'm on some healthy, I do want a healthy lifestyle, but I just don't like the way it tastes. I would much rather have a glass of Kool-Aid. You know, I be seeing people getting wasted. And I'm like, that shit is nasty, though.
Do you?
It's not sweet. It's not. It doesn't taste good to me.
When you, these days, when you drink Kool-Aid, do you do it from scratch with the mix and the sugar in a pitcher? Or do you having like a pre-made Kool-Aid?
I haven't had Kool-Aid in a minute. But if I do get Kool-Aid, it's going to be from scratch. They had pre-made Kool-Aid?
Sure.
You talking about juice, regular juice from the store?
Well, I'm talking about Kool-Aid. Like Kool-Aid, they got their little, you know, their juice bottles, their stuff in the six-pack for the kids.
Oh, with the little twisty thing? Yeah. I would have to make the real deal. Yeah.
The real?
Yeah, man. Fuck with that fake-ass Kool-Aid. It's probably made out of that glucose shit anyway. Make the good Kool-Aid with the cane sugar.
I haven't had Kool-Aid in a while, man. I miss it, dog.
Get back on your Kool-Aid game.
I miss it.
You know what you...
I miss it.
And I smoked before. I want to smoke again.
Why? Wait. You do want to smoke. So what's stopping you from smoking?
I'm just playing. No, because my first experience smoking, I don't know. Like,
she was tweaking.
Did you tweak out?
No, I wanted to tweak. I wanted to feel what everybody else claimed they feel, but I didn't feel anything. My throat was just burning.
Oh, you know what? Sometimes, like the first 2-3 times I smoked weed, didn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
One of my boys, Tamora, in LA, he, like literally, it took him like over 10 times to get out. And I was making him rip bongs. Big ass pipes, making him smoke blunts to the dome, and I'm like, "You're getting high,"
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Man, maybe this just doesn't work for you." Finally, one day it worked. Sometimes it takes people a couple of times, and it might burn your throat. I think you should need to give it a couple more tries.
Oh, you think I should smoke?
Give it a couple of tries.
You guys are good influence.
Hey, I mean, it's not a drug that'll ruin your life.
Right? I know.
Yo. Where do you fall amongst your siblings?
I am a middle child.
Middle child. Oh. Any other musicians or rappers amongst your siblings?
No, not rappers. One of my sisters, she can sing, but you know, she's not at this moment. That's not something she's pursuing.
She sings in a church.
No, she don't sing at all. But she knows how to sing.
What? So she just does it at the crib and shit? I'm just trying to get an idea. She doesn't do it
act
in
like
public.
That's, yeah, it's not something like she's not pursuing a career in music, but she can, yeah.
At the crib, yeah, you know, watching the show, then a commercial come on, yeah. And then she just start. Ooh,
you need to buy her one of these. Cause you ain't gotta do shit but this.
Kate, yeah. Valentine.
What up?
Have you got any TV placements for one of your songs yet?
No, not yet.
If you did get a placement, what show would you want it to pop up on?
Insecure,
that's what I was gonna say. That's a
yes.
Insecure is becoming a good spot for music.
Yeah.
They play some shit that's on the nose.
Yes.
They be playing some shit. Like Issa be looking for the battery for a vibrator, and there'll be a song like, "Can't find a battery for my vibrator." not that particular song, but it's been other situations in the show where the song has fitted perfectly.
Yeah,
I could see. What was that? Fucking bitches? Was it other bitches?
Yeah,
yeah. That could be that. That would fit. In there, actually. That would fit in the show. Some other stuff, but with the tone of that show, that song could be on there, I think.
I'm going to get some music on that. Watch.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's what's up.
Ooh.
Issa, you watch it Insecure?
No, I haven't gotten to it yet.
People are... It's an intense... The show isn't intense, but I like watching the internet chatter after each episode. You follow it? I mean, you watch the show, but do you look at afterwards? People are...
The tweets,
the articles. Like, I haven't seen that many shows, like that many black shows written about like that. Like, as far as a bunch of different outlets review it, and they have their takes on it, and Lawrence is and people, they get into these characters a lot, man, where they... The girl that plays Tasha, Dominique, she gets She gets hate mail about her character. Well, you gotta say, motherfuckers, this shit ain't, it's not real. But yeah. People get connected.
I saw that. It was an article about, yeah, that's crazy.
Well, people write me sometimes, why'd you break up with Alana on Broad City? Why'd you break up with her? motherfucker, because Alana wrote that shit like that. It's her show.
Why were you a dachshund in Secret Life of Pets?
They like that with Power, too. Yeah, I remember Proctor got married in real life. They was under his wedding picture talking about something. But Ghost is still in jail. You know what I mean?
So, people, crazy. Really, I guess that's when you know you've done a good job with a show. Because people need to escape. When was the last time you were legit furious?
Man.
Furious.
Furious.
Well, she wrote that song.
Nah, that was a couple years ago.
I got
she
mad been
furious
again.
Recently.
Dang, who pissed me off recently?
Did you do that while you was telling them?
And being mad at yourself don't count, right?
Sure. Because that is the thing you can control the most.
To be honest.
Because if you were mad about yourself and then you're going to be like, oh, man, let me just change that. What were you mad about yourself about?
You know how you do. We ain't going to go into all of that. But I would say.
Let's go into all of that. Yeah. Let's go into all of that. This is a new segment.
I could check my text and see who snapped on last.
Let's get into all of that. So why were you furious at yourself?
I've been mad at myself, but not furious. The last time I was truly, truly super duper angry was at this one nigga that I used to mess with.
Yeah.
I ain't been that mad in a minute. And I got hit by a drunk driver back when I was working on this album.
You were in a car or out?
Car.
I was in a car. Good.
And I was actually on my way. Now, I had been knowing this guy for some years. We were friends, and then we started dating. He had been trying to get with me for a minute.
He played the long game.
What's that?
That's when the guy was like, yeah, she my friend. Yeah.
Right.
But he was.
Lots of dates.
No, not even dates, type being buddies, hanging out. As a group, they were hanging out.
Going to museums together.
As a group of five. The whole
texting
time he
each
was
other about
the whole time
texting.
He was like,
all you
one
know.
One day,
yeah. But he had it. He had plans. Day. He had plans.
And
for
I
you.
Didn't know. And I usually can peep certain stuff. But
see, he was a slick one.
Yes, and so I'm on my way to go see him. We was gonna go out to eat.
Yeah,
I had just got back in town, and. I always pray, say a prayer before I get in the car, like a traveling mercy prayer. So this particular day, I rushed it. I rushed my prayer because I was trying to listen to some new music. And so I get in the car. I'm getting on 94 westbound, and it's a Sunday evening. Ain't nobody out there. So I'm just cruising in the far left lane, express. And this dude just hit me out of nowhere. He was going over 100 miles per hour.
Oh.
The car. Yeah. I spun around twice, hit the concrete medium, flipped over twice, landed upside down in the exit ramp, the 43rd Street exit ramp.
Shit.
I'm going to show you a picture. All
right.
And then, so he came to the scene, and I didn't see him again after that until like maybe 3 or 4 months later. I just happened to see him out. But, like, he kind of low-key, like...
Like, I don't want to deal with this drama.
Abandoned me. Like, I know he had a lot going on, but I just, like... I was like, damn. Like, you know, I don't know if he thought I was going to be crippled or what.
That might have been it. He was like, it's over for... Oh.
But he literally, yeah.
After the long game, too.
Yeah, I was like, you piece of shit. So, I was hurt. I was angry. And I, you know, he was every name in the book. But... You know, I got over it. He finally apologized.
Oh, shit. When was that?
I could see that from over here.
This was the end of 2015.
Okay, a couple years ago.
Yep. And it was crazy. I'm trying to find the car. Because if you see the car, like, that's why. And everybody, because they rushed me to Northwestern. And all the doctors was like, you're so lucky. People don't live through this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like.
But you said you were mad at yourself. You were mad at yourself for.
That's a separate thing.
I think. Okay. This is after they flipped the car over. Like, flipped my car back over. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't look like you're supposed to survive that.
Right. So. No, what I was saying, I've been mad at myself, but I was, the last time I was super furious, like, with somebody, like, wanted to bash their face in, was with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just, that's not cool.
Yeah.
What was your recovery time?
It was quick. It was like, I would say I felt myself physically in, like, a month, 3 weeks to a month. I was in the studio the next week, but I wouldn't let, you know, I wasn't taking no pictures. I wasn't on Instagram because... You know, that picture that you saw, that's after they cleaned me up. But it get worse before it get better. So I ended up, it was swelling. My blood vessels had popped, so my eyes was red. And it was just, and I had deep gashes in my nose. And it was disgusting.
No,
so my nose
bones?
Was open. No broken, no permanent damage, no broken bones.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy. So it was all bruises and gashes, no broken bones.
Yeah, you know what else is crazy? Y'all know how y'all watch them shows, them hospital shows. And they be cutting people clothes off.
Yeah.
They cut my clothes. They cut my drawers off. Yeah. You know, thank God I had just got a wax. They cut. They took my socks off. I mean, completely ass, just naked. And I had doctors all around. You know what I mean? So even though I had just experienced something so traumatic, I was sitting there like, damn, I'm naked. They looking at my body. And they cut my shirt. I had a shirt on that I really liked. And I was thinking, like, fuck, they cutting my shirt.
Did you said you were in a studio a week afterwards. Was your voice different at all?
No, my voice was fine. Mm-hmm.
So I remember Kanye's voice. He sounded, he had.
Yeah, that's because he had the whole jaw thing. Like, nah, my stuff was just, I didn't know it when it first happened. But, like, when I landed upside down and realized that I was still alive, it's like, because it was a lot of blood coming out of my mouth. I'm upside down. All I was able to move was my legs. And somehow I got out of my seatbelt. And so I started trying to kick the windows because it was smoke everywhere. And I wasn't strong enough to break the windows. And so I started talking to myself. I'm like, okay, you're about to die. It was like but I felt calm. Like I didn't panic or anything. And I was picturing, I'm like, damn, I'm off and I have to plan my funeral. And then I got tired, so I just closed my eyes. Like, fuck it, this is it. This is how I'm going in. And next thing I know, complete strangers pulled me from out of the car. And that's how I made it. But I said that to say I realized later that all that blood that was coming out was because I bit a huge hole in my mouth. But it didn't affect how I sounded or spoke or anything. So I was good.
Did they get the other driver?
That buzzard was out there because his car got messed up too. And so I didn't know at the time when they pulled me from under the car, I couldn't see out of one eye, but I was able to see out of my left eye. And in my peripheral vision, I was able to see another car that was total. And so I'm already crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, is the person that hit me, is he alive? Is he dead? I didn't know what was going on. And it was a crowd of people around me. And this one particular dude was in front of me. And he just was staring. He wasn't saying nothing. Everybody else was like, oh, my gosh. You know, trying to pat me with paper towels, all that. And I later found out that's the nigga who hit me.
Oh,
he was
shit.
Just standing there just looking at me like. And so, and he was lying to the police. I found out once they put me in the ambulance, he was out there.
Acting like a witness?
Telling people, no, he couldn't deny that he was the one because it was his car. But he said that it was somebody else that hit him. And hit me, and they kept going. Like, he was making up dumbass lies. And I was just thankful that it was other people there, you know, who was able to, you know, give an account of what had really taken place. And they made him do the walk the line. He fucked up. Then people was taking pictures of him and getting him on video. And he was cursing him out, like, don't put me on video. And he was just crazy. So they took him to jail that night. I don't know what happened to him afterwards. I didn't take him to court or nothing. He was driving he didn't have a license. He was driving his sister's car. It wasn't, the insurance didn't cover him, and everybody's like, oh, you could take them to court, you can do this and that. But I was so, I was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And I was dealing with that, but I was thankful being alive. I was just too consumed mentally to even try to, I'm like, right. 'Cause he ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made it through that.
Me too. Thanks. I was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I named my album Here For A Reason.
Well, thank you, Kay Valentine, for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you for having me.
You want to make a silly song on our way out?
Yeah, it's called Go Buy My Album.
Go! Go! Go, 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 go! Go, go, go! Give me some drums. Go! Go! Yeah! Go!
This next song is called
Go by my album.
Here For A Reason.
Yeah.
By Kay Valentine. And at the very least, stream it. But buying is preferred. But if you
go. You're a terrible singer when your shit even crack with an auto-tune. When auto-tune say, yo, I got nothing, I can't fix that. Ooh, we grabbed the souls.
Oh shit,
Kay Valentine, yeah. You know it's on. Tony Trim on the drums is tone.
Right.